going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WTF at TFW. My name is Vangelis. I'm hosting, and I totally have Prime toys that I bought all by myself. With me today is Gog Dog.
Hey! I'm jealous of you.
I got a whole lot of that on Twitter. And no one asked me to buy one for them yet. I think that a lot of folks remember what I told them about the cost of toys in Canada and how it won't really help. But just for reference, if you do want to get a Canadian to buy you a Prime toy, number one, they might not have them. Number two, you'll have to be paying $17 plus tax plus shipping. So if you really want a Prime toy, be prepared to shell out nearly $30 for it if you're in the Americas or the surrounding areas.
Well,
also,
we'll go into more detail about that, but that's not too far off from what some of us are going to be paying.
Oh, dear. We'll get to that. Also here today is Seth Buzzard.
Hello, friends.
Hello, Romans. Countrymen. We're here today to talk to you about Transformers, but first I want to just open up with a quick little off-topic story as an educational lesson to all of you. This is very important. Always check your schedule. This morning, I had my first final exam at my new thing I'm doing, and I was all ready for it. I woke up at like 4 in the morning, and then like by 6 in the morning, I was like, I am ready to whoop this exam. And I was like, yep, 10:30 rolls around, I'm going to kick this exam in the butt, and then jump on the subway. It's about 9:55, and I'm like, oh, I should see what room the exam's happening in. Look at the schedule, and I see that the exam actually began at 9:15 and was running till 10:45, and I knew that I wouldn't get there until about 10:20. So I got there and had 25 minutes to write an exam rather than 90 minutes. I still managed to do it, managed to get 85% on it, so I'm a badass, but always check your schedule, ladies and gentlemen. This is also just me saying that it's about 10:20 p.m. local time now, and I've been awake since 4 in the morning, so I am Aaron Smith tired. But there's only one way to deal with that, Gog. Gotta kick it in. What are we opening up with here today? I have an interesting news story for you all. It's about DVDs. Transformers Generation 1 is going to get re-released on DVD in Japan. The DVD sets.
Yay!
Yeah!
Man, it's about time.
They're coming out.
Re-released somewhere.
January 25th, 2012. I'm ready for this. List prices. Each 9,450 yen, with an Amazon.jp price of just shy of 7,000 yen. Geneon Universal Entertainment will be handling the release. That means these will be just over $100 a season. I just want to share this news story to make sure that you all of you in North America and all of you in the English speaking Transformers fandom, I hope you all appreciate Shout Factory. Just stop for a moment and just appreciate the fact that Shout Factory's there, and that we're not in Japan, where DVDs cost crazy nuts amounts of money. Are either of you interested in buying these DVDs for the sake of having G1 in a Japanese language?
No.
Oh.
No.
I bet somebody is, though.
Someone out there is stoked as...
I bet somebody is.
Stoked as a pipe. There is one big thing about this that I think is kind of interesting, is if these become readily available again, maybe that means that for those who want to hear Transformers in other languages, we'll soon have DVD rips, like new DVD rips of Transformers G1 in Japanese, if you want to hear the Japanese dub of G1. If you want to hear that Optimus Prime voice actor who has appeared, or the Rodimus Prime voice actor even, who both have appeared in talking display stands. Now's your time.
Well, I just imagine that there's somebody that's so dedicated to the whole sub not dub thing that they're actually like, now I could finally watch G1 the way that I imagine that it's intended to be.
Except it came out in Japan after it came out over here.
Yeah, but they're so into that. Because that was kind of the deal at one point, where there were people that were so freaking like, oh, it's got to be in the original Japanese, no matter what. Like, these video games have to be in the Japanese because that's the way they were intended. And meanwhile, over in Japan, when they get an American game, they're like, what's all this English garbage? Like, I don't care what it was. Who cares what was originally intended? But I just imagine somebody is so hardcore of that mindset that they're like super jazzed that they're going to be able to get this Japanese version.
So Shuriken!
And then tell everybody about how much better. Yeah, and then they'll tell everybody how much better it is. How none of the American voice actors are talented or anything.
It's just Peter Cullen kid.
And then I'll have to crush their head with my hands.
Gog, are you super pumped for this new release of Generation 1?
Oh, yeah, totally. Sure. Yeah, I mean, people complain a lot about the prices of DVD. I mean, even with anime and stuff, like import anime, of how expensive it is. And, I mean, it certainly is above the cost of a lot of domestic stuff that we have here. But it's like even the same thing in Japan oftentimes costs way more. Like, I remember looking at... I can't remember. I was looking up something on Amazon Japan. I think it was looking up Ghost in the Shell figures or something. Like, there was a specific figure that I wanted and had no idea where to look. So I was searching for it on Amazon Japan. And I remember seeing the season one DVDs of Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex. And I remember them being, I think for the entire season, cost like $250, $300 to the equivalent. And I even looked at the I remember looking at the review, and I translated it using Google Translate. And one of the I saw several people in the reviews that were complaining about how the American season one box set release was $100. And I was like, I remember thinking, like, when that set had retailed $100, like, wow, that's really expensive for a single season of a TV show. And then, like, looking at Japan. Like in Japan, where it originated from, was like three times the price. So it's like that even is holding true now. It's, you know, for a whole season, Shout Factory, like you said, is giving us this stuff at about $20 a season. And I mean, let's say that, I mean, sure, with the exchange rate, it makes it look even worse to us. But let's say the exchange rate was back to where it was about 4 years ago. This would still be costing them about $70. So it's still three times the price. So,
and pretty crazy. I am not going to lie. I was a little bit surprised to see that the prices on these things were, you know, of all the listings that were shared in the news story, none of those things breached the 10,000 yen barrier. Like, they were all below 10,000 yen, and I was like, okay, that's for Japanese DVDs. As far as I recall, that's pretty good. So. Big ups to the Japanese fans out there who will be able to get their Generation 1 DVDs. I hope that the release is really well done and not really well done. Anyway, DVDs, guys. There's pictures of DVDs out there, and they're all of discs. I want to talk about pictures of things that aren't DVDs. I want to pick out some new picks. New pick time. I just said it like 15 times in a row. Seth, I want to know what your new picture pick is.
Well, this is a running joke, but let's go to the third party guys, because they're doing stuff that's slightly more interesting. But even this week, looking at a lot of this week's third party news, kind of dull. Like a weapons pack, like clear pictures of something we saw not all that blurry pictures of earlier. But something...
new Dr. Wu!
Something that did catch my eye was the, you know, those eye gear guys that we give a hard time to for, oh, they're kind of shifty, mold stealing, whatnot. Yeah. But they're doing Spray and Rager, which is going to be a Sea Spray, but not Sea Spray, and a Huffer, not Huffer. And I think they missed the boat. I mean, okay, calling Sea Spray Spray, that makes sense. Calling Huffer Rager, no. Like, because if anything, he should have been called Complainer. because he was kind of huffy. So he never really raged.
I'd buy a toy called Complainer based on that.
Me too. Because that is what makes Huffer great. He's like, oh, I don't, what are we doing this for, Prime? Ah. But, yeah, they look Autobot interesting. Complainer. I don't know if they stole these molds from anybody or what. They're a little...
I mean, there's... who is it? Make Toy has very similar toys coming out, but they also have been proven to be completely different. So I want to give Iger the benefit of the doubt and say that this was not the cribbing of someone else's work on the engineering level. But if anyone out there can let us know, that'd be great.
And as far as I could tell, there's just this one picture of their robot modes. And they do look like, you know, pretty decent updates of those old mini bots. So, and they're unpainted. Mm-hmm. So who knows what happens when they get painted, but, yeah, these could have potential. And if they're not too expensive, I mean, I really like Huffer, so we will see how that goes.
Oh, they,
suppose
they are not that expensive. I believe that they're $15 to $20 each. Like, in the realm of third-party, they're not that expensive.
Yeah, I mean, in the realm of third-party, they're practically free.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Huffer actually looks pretty good. I still don't know if it's enough for me to pop my Iger.
Well, I did that on the heads, which I had forgotten were from Iger until I was, like, looking at the little emblem on the box. Like, is this Iger? They got me.
Seth popped his chair. Oh,
it wasn't special. I always thought it was going to be special. It wasn't.
Well, I want to see what those things are like when they come out, because we've been seeing promo material for them for ages. Iger's had them up on their personal store for ages. I want to know how they turn out, because I really want to be into them, and I really want to go, like, there you go, Iger, there's something that you made yourself, and it turned out real good. But
no, let's see how they turn out themselves. If
I went through this whole thing of going, like, wow, look at that. Iger's done original designs for Ironhide and Ratchet. Good on them. Applause, Iger. Applause. And they're like, oh, by the way, they're 90% Inferno. Oh. But don't worry, they're doing Impactor. Okay, he's 90% Warpath. Oh. I don't want to go through the cycle anymore.
Yeah, they probably just beat up some dude and stole his designs. Some guy that was working on a garage kit or something, like, give us that. Oh, no, this is mine. Not anymore. Punch.
That's how things go down in the third-party realm of toys.
I've been beaten up by bullies. Oh, no. What can I have to do? They stole my design. Oh, no.
Give us your design for an arc backdrop for Transformers. No! And then 2 weeks later, why does your design suck and not fit together? Biff, biff, biff.
But it's finished. You just took it. I was not done.
I like the idea that this is the voice of a man who makes third-party toys. Why are you picking on me?
Why can't it be?
I don't know.
He's, like, vaguely French.
I'm that's his name. Nondescript accent. I do not know what it is. It could be anybody. Do not judge me. Oh. Do not paint me in a corner.
I won't paint you in a corner, and I will do my best not to paint Iger in a corner. Moving along from that third partiness, Gog, what is your new pick?
My new pick is, if you were to take a picture of some text, it would fit the theme.
Bip.
That text would be announcement that Prime toys, at least the first edition waves, apparently are going to be specialty shop only release in the United States.
And Canada is the biggest specialty shop in the world.
Myself. Yeah, I can't. Yeah, you guys are all special. So, yeah, apparently, at least the way it seems, and still trying to get total confirmation on who exactly is going to carry it or not, but BBTS certainly is, because they put up their pre-orders, and...
How much are these?
We'll go into that in a minute, but... yeah, hold on, we'll cover that. But it looks like at least the big retailers like Walmart, Target, are not going to be carrying the first edition
toys. They're probably
toys.
Still buried under piles of freaking movie stuff that they ordered.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that that's a choice by the retailers. I really doubt this is what Hasbro wanted.
Well, I even doubt that they've chosen to keep stocking movie toys. My guess is they still have movie toys. Like they just probably have leftover stuff that they can't sell, and they don't want to order anything else until they get rid of the crap they're stuck with.
Yeah, it's very possible. But at the very least, online retailers such as BBTS and Entertainment Earth and TF Source and all those guys should be carrying these, and hopefully that means Toys R Us as well, because oftentimes toys that are meant for specialty store release, such as, you know, most of the NECA stuff and Mini Mates and a lot of things around those lines, Toys R Us usually carries that stuff. So I don't know if there's been any new information come out since then about who exactly will be carrying it on a store-by-store basis, but fact of the matter remains is most of the big brick-and-mortar stores that people see this stuff at are not going to be carrying them, it looks like. At least that's the word that we got from Joel at BBTS. So, yeah.
And this affects the toy-by-toy pricing, too, because now you're not going to be able to expect big box prices on these unless Toys R Us happens to get them and happens to not price them like they did over here.
Right, yeah, and it also means if, like, with, say, if you want Voyager Bulkhead, BBTS is only offering Voyager Bulkhead in a set with Prime. You can get Prime on his own, you cannot get Bulkhead on his own. So, you know, I'm not gonna trash on BBTS, but you definitely have less options, and you're gonna be paying more money than you normally would. The only economical way to get the four deluxes from BBTS is if you order all four, which is what I did. And that ordering all four of them means they come out to $15 each before shipping, and that's the cheapest way to get them from BBTS. If you want to order RC, which if you haven't already pre-ordered her, unless they open up more, you can't because the pre-order is sold out for the individual figure. They're selling individual RC for $20.
$20. So. Oh, man. I mean, with Bulkhead, I understand it entirely, though. You look at the case assortment, and it's a 1-3. So the poor guy's going to be hard to get up front no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That I think that's a real shame, and now I understand a whole lot of the tweets I was getting. Because I walked into a Toys R Us today. In which, in the very same Toys R Us, I saw a Masterpiece Rodimus, 25th Anniversary Unicron, Dark of the Moon, and Transformers Prime First Edition, all in the same shelves. And I was like, wow, it's a great time to be a Transformers fan. Apparently only if I'm in Canada or China. So, I hope you guys can get a lot of that sorted out, because I've talked about Prime toys I've messed with before, and all I'm going to say is, in particular, anyone who sees RC and Starscream on the shelf, I'd say you should buy it, only everyone already is, because RC was gone, and there were about three Starscreams, and all the rest was Bumblebee, which also explains why Bumblebee would be... So, oh, wait, here's the case assortment. That explains it. There's two Bumblebees to four of everyone else. Or four Bumblebees, yeah, two Bumblebees to each of the other guys. So four Bumblebees and then two RCs and two Starscreams. That explains what I saw on the shelf really well. And then RC is 1 to a case and 1.5.
Yeah, this whole thing is kind of a mess because, I don't think anyone was expecting this. And, I mean, to be honest, I don't think that Hasbro was expecting this.
No,
we've never heard anything about this until Yeah, we literally, I mean, we didn't hear that this was going to happen until days before they hit Canadian retail. So the cases have already been made, shipped to some stores, in some countries at least. I mean, they're out at retail in Malaysia and China. We got word last week. And the only thing that I can think of is the retailer said, because they've already said that the Prime toy line proper is going to launch sometime early next year, late January, February, somewhere in that time frame. So I have to believe that it's something like what Seth said. They have so many movie toys, and they're not willing to pick up this little kind of miniature transitional line because the stuff they have now isn't going anywhere. So
are Prime Toys really a transitional line?
The first edition is, because it's not the proper line. It was just it's like a sub line, and so they say in the actual toy lines are going to be what called like Robots in Disguise or something like that. The actual toy line that's
Robots in Disguise.
Yeah. So these first edition figures are being solicited as a sub line before the actual Prime proper toy line comes out. So
and to all the Americans out there, if you do want to get these right now, I guess you got to pre-order them online, because let me tell you, these prices are better than Canada, because over here the deluxes are since they are Toys R Us exclusive right now, as far as I can tell, Toys R Us is getting to set their own pricing on them, and that's not the best thing in the world, because that means that the three deluxes, or eventually four, are $17 each before tax, and the entertainment pack of Prime, Megatron, the Kids, and a DVD with Masters and Students on it is $45 before tax, which means that if you go to a store and want to just buy the entertainment pack, like, I wanted to get it because I want that Megatron toy. I think it looks great. I'm going to have to drop $50 if I want to pick that entertainment pack up, like, after taxes and whatnot. And at first, I was like, screw this. I'm getting an American to buy it for me. But if I order it off Big Bad Toy Store, that's going to be $35 and then probably about $15 of shipping and handling. So I guess if I want to get that Megatron, I got to either wait for a sale or I got to suck it up and eat $50 for two deluxes and some bonuses, which I don't really want to do.
This is just like one last F you from the movie.
Well, the movie's coming back too. We're getting movie trilogy deluxes.
Yeah, until movie 4 comes out.
What's up, Paramount? Thanks for fueling that front page discussion for another week.
Yeah, I really hope though that like when the full line starts for animated toys, that they don't decide, well, we already released these in these colors, so now RC will only ever be a repaint, and Starscream will only ever be like desert camo Starscream. And
what they're gonna do,
Ninja RC, and
the opening deluxe wave is deluxe Bumblebee and deluxe Cliffjumper, but they're completely different toys than the first edition ones. And Starscream's going to be a completely new Voyager. I would not be surprised if RC gets a completely new toy at some point as well. It seems like they are ready and willing to go into redoing. Like their Cliffjumper is going to have two entirely different toys, one of which is going to be remolded into a zombie, all within the first couple months of these toys coming out. Cliffjumper, of all characters. So I'm prepared for them to multiversion these up hardcore.
I just hope that this is just a bit of a stuttery start for what's going to happen. For what's not going to be the continuing status of this line is second best to the movie line, because it's off to a rocky start so far, and I really hope that it picks up steam. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, I really hope that the Prime toys don't turn out like with animated, where the stores weren't fond of them and they wanted more movie stuff. And so we're already seeing what appears to be, and of course this is all speculation, but you know, Hasbro wants these toys out there. They obviously want to sell them, and it's up to the retailers whether they take them or not. So at this point, it's just an assumption on my part that that's what's happened, is that they chose not to carry the first edition toys, but Like, I hope that this isn't a continuing thing of Hasbro trying to get Prime Toys to us and people, retailers, not wanting to stock them.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of how Animated died. I mean, Hasbro still had toys they wanted to release. The stores wouldn't take them. And they had every Animated toy that came out after that point had to be a retail exclusive. And in our case, Toys R Us. Because Toys R Us was literally the only store that were going to carry these things.
And if ever there was evidence
that this isn't...
I hope that the retailers have power.
Yeah. So...
Well, and just like how things are working at Kmart, or at least this Kmart, the only toys that ever really get stocked are ones with movie tie-ins. Like, they still have Captain America on the shelf, even though they haven't restocked that in a while. There's just some lingering. They have tons of Green Lantern stuff. Ugh. Movie Transformer stuff. A huge section for Cars 2 and Toy Story toys and wrestling figures. And that's about it. And then, like, a little bit of Ben 10 every now and then, they'll get, like, a case in, and then that will sell out and those pegs will be empty. And, like, Bakugan. That's it. So, I mean, maybe you get on that shelf if you have a TV show, but really you need a movie.
That's kind of crazy. I hope it becomes easier to pick up Prime toys for all the people who are not Canadian or Chinese, because they are very fantastic figures.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that this isn't a sign of how things are going, where if you don't have a movie, you're not a supported toy line.
Yeah, that would suck. Ugh.
But that, at least that seems to be the direction Kmart's headed. Hopefully everybody else isn't going to do that, too.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to doom and gloom it up too much, because at least this is something that can be, yeah. I don't at least this is something that can be chalked up to, like, well, this is the first edition line. These are the quote-unquote preview toys. You know, I guess we'll see what happens, although I will say there for preview toys is good stuff. But eyes to the skies on whether or not these things get better or get worse. Keep your eyes out, keep your ears open, and don't ask Canadians to help you, because you're just going to end up spending more money. It's going to be more expensive for you to get a Canadian to help you, because our taxes suck.
One other thing on this too is BBTS is saying that they're not releasing these toys until January.
Why?
Oh, that's what all their in stock stuff says. So
that sucks.
It's like you can pay their price if you get everything, and yeah, it'll end up being cheaper in Canada, but you're gonna have to wait 2 months. So.
Okay, yeah, that blows. Because especially, although I am hoping this happens, I'm really hoping Canada gets Wave 1.5 as well, because that'll be the Voyagers and Cliff Jumper. Because China got those, and I hope that we get those, but at the same time, I mean, that especially if we get the Voyagers, that's going to bridge the gap, because the Voyagers here, I'm pretty sure that might end up being comparable to ordering in from Robot Kingdom, and that's what I've seen a lot of people talking about on Twitter. They're figuring out, like, well, if we order a case of Voyagers off Robot Kingdom, we can sell the Voyagers, like, we can split it up about 40, 50 bucks a Voyager, and if people are willing to do that, then you will probably save a bit of money going through a Canadian, but... That sucks. That does really suck. I want everyone out there to be able to buy a deluxe Starscream and a deluxe RC. They are both well worth your time. And I like deluxe Bumblebee, but he's far more divisive. I guess we'll see what happens. I'll try to keep an eye on the news for that. I had no idea that it got that deep, like January, and specialist only in the States. That's a bummer. A whole lot less of a bummer is this amazing new Dark of the Moon Neo-scanning Bumblebee Japan exclusive. In Japan, they're going to get an exclusive deluxe Bumblebee in an exclusive new paint scheme deco where he's a yellow car that turns into a yellow robot with silver detailing, much like friggin' Bumblebee. This is to coincide with the DVD and Blu-ray release, I believe, of Dark of the Moon in Japan. And I guess it's kind of like a premium-style movie 3 Bumblebee. It's a yellow Bumblebee. There you go. And that's a pretty loud yellow that he's got going on, too.
Yeah, I don't know if that's just bad picture or just a really awful shade of yellow, but it looks kind of bad.
Yeah, I do not see this Bumblebee getting much of a secondary market boost aside from being some kind of exclusive to something. But hey, you know what? At least there's still a Bumblebee toy coming out for all those of you who are waiting for your Transformers Prime Bumblebees or Robots in Disguise Bumblebee or Movie Trilogy Deluxe Bumblebee. Don't worry, you have a Japan-exclusive Bumblebee coming to you as well. So we here at WTFATFW throw our hearts out to all those Bumblebee completists, because you're all insane.
You mean Josh Perez?
Pretty much. Josh, you walk a torrid and dangerous path, my friend. And I don't know, I hope that it does not destroy you. Because I addiction. Powerful thing. Anyway, new picture picks, guys. Wow. Those were some images. That was some kind of sad news. Let's go into something a little bit more fun and friendly and happy. The staff at Kabaya, who do the Transformers Kabaya model kits, recently had a pretty cool interview, which was translated with the help of our resident interview translation machine, Sydney Y. This was an interview with Mr. Kotaro Hayashi and Mr. Masakazu Kunimitsu, who are working on the current, kind of revamped and oddly cool series of Kabaya model kits. There's some cool stuff in here. This was something that was suggested because the Kabaya 25th anniversary with Transformers was in 2009, and it timed really well with the hype from the movie. Regardless of the movie push, though, they did go for G1 because they felt that was more in line with the 25th anniversary. This also tells some info on how they decided on who would go into what wave in the Kabaya kits. Obviously, the first wave was Commanders. Apparently the Henkei Prime was added into that wave for kids, because Henkei was at the time pretty new. But there's some cool stuff. Like, later on, they mentioned that every wave was supposed to have at least one big character. So for the second one, the Hayashi picked Ultra Magnus, and then quote-unquote altered the proportions somewhat. And he apparently had a really big, like, childhood dream coming true sort of thing with getting to do God Jinrai. And he did point it. No, who was it? Hayashi was very particular about the standing stance. He didn't want to have kind of like the G1 kind of brick thing where the legs are glued together. And also, I believe one of these guys, I forgot who, I think it was Hayashi, he mentioned that he pointedly made God Jinrai's head smaller and arms a bit bigger for the sake of proportions, which I think it's really cool that they've kind of confirmed that was entirely out of a love for super robotism and making the proportions a bit better. This interview goes on to talk a lot about the history between Takara Tomy and Kabaya, but I thought it was kind of cool to hear from the guys who make those little, you know, the 300 yen gum kits that are so often talked about but have so little knowledge known about their process. These guys also did the Gaia Cross Land Cross style robots. And they want to, at some point, they're talking about future aspirations. One thing they really want to do is make a base that would be storage for the Gaia Cross robots, which I think is kind of cool. And apparently they're currently developing the fourth wave of Kabaya kits, but these dudes apparently also really want to work on Scramble City Combiners somehow, if they can. So I thought that was kind of cool. I like to hear from these guys, in part because they work on the really low budget model kits. Cause I like hearing about like what kind of design process goes into what is essentially a countertop item that many could consider a bit of a throwaway thing. They definitely seem to put a decent amount of love into it. Did either of you guys have any thoughts on this interview or on where Kabaya stuff is right now on the whole?
You pretty much summed up the entire article there. I mean, it was interesting seeing. Well, I mean, it wasn't a huge. It wasn't like some of the interviews we've gotten with like the masterpiece designers and such, where there's like these tidbits from 20 years past that are like, oh wow, that's really awesome. That makes sense. But it was pretty much all the points you hit there. But it was interesting seeing how like the guy, like, yeah, we did Star Saber because I really like Star Saber, but they also kind of had to choose characters based on the fact that every wave is basically gang molded together, so they had to be able to match the colors and everything. So it sounds like kind of a fun process, and they had a little bit more freedom and less responsibility than, say, the main guys at Takara, who have to design toys. Like, well, yeah, we need to design this and this and this. It's like, yeah, we just need three guys, got to be basically the same color. We need one main character. All right, let's pick our favorites. It sounds like they were able to have a little bit of fun with choosing their characters and being able to change up the proportions a little bit to make them look good at that small scale.
Mm-hmm. And Seth, any thoughts on your end from the Kabaya vantage?
Nothing really to add. I mean, but reading stuff like that is always kind of interesting. Like, kind of getting a peek behind the curtain is always kind of cool. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting little article, but, you know, it's okay. I don't really have any deep insight or anything to add to it.
We sold you on Kabaya kits because I forgot if you have any.
I have that Star Saber one.
As he mentioned
multiple times
one episode ago.
Yeah. You were at the PodCon.
I don't listen. I don't listen to odd number podcasts.
You're so Aaron-ish.
Sorry, I'm really tired today.
That's gonna be like a huge insult. It's gonna be like, you're G1er. You're Aaron-ish.
What sucks is because I was so busy this week, I have not got 172 out as of this recording, which means Seth has not yet heard Aaron's harsh words for him, and thus has nothing to rebut with yet, if at all.
He got pretty uptight over Twitter about the whole thing.
Oh. I was rubbing my hands together with glee watching the controversy just unfurl like a frog's great tongue. Yes. Hey, I got listener questions. And even though we have brutal Skype lag right now, I am going to try to go through these. And by brutal, I mean I ran a speed test on myself. My current upload speed is 0.1 Mbps. And my ping is 147 on speedtest.net, which I don't recall as being all that good.
Did you try Speakeasy?
But we gotta listen. I have not tried Speakeasy.
Alright.
I'm a bad person. I have a listener question, though, from CSpray10, sent in September 12th of 2011. He says, "Hey, Vangelis and his slaves in podcastery. By the way, GOG got me hooked on Arnold Palmer from Dark of the Moon Episode 1, and all of you had convinced me to buy a Cyberverse Megatron and trailer. Now on to my real question, because that was the fake one. If Yoko from Gurren Lagann and Prime RC were to pick a fight, who would win? And if Gurren, piloted by Kamino, was to fight Optimus Prime, who would win? Thanks for answering my questions, and keep being awesome." I am going to defer this question to you guys, because my answer to these questions, as always, really is, why are they fighting? Because that's way more interesting than who wins. But I am just a stick in the mud. GOG, you got him hooked on Arnold Palmer. Who would win in these fights?
Well, for one, you have great taste. I am very happy, Mr. CSpray10, that you partook in our most divine nectar of gods. But the second part.
That's some pretty fancy talk for a slave.
I'm trying to work my way up through the caste system. The first thing to do is become the first step towards that is to become literate. But for the second part of the question, I think Kamina plus Gurren would easily beat Prime, no question. But I'd like to think that if Yoko was to fight Prime RC, that they might come to a stalemate and eventually a partnership, because Yoko riding RC, you know, in a platonic way, of course, that would that would kind of be an awesome pairing. I'd have to say, I think that they could make a good team. They could go on adventures together. But
all right,
yeah, Kamina would just kick the crap out of Prime easily.
Oh, line in the sand. Seth, who would win in this strange and completely storyline-less battle between Gurren Lagann and Transformers Prime?
Well, I don't have that much experience with the Prime version of Prime. I mean, if it was movie Prime, then God help anybody that got in his way. But...
oh, man, yeah.
These things are goofy. Questions like this are goofy. Not that there's anything wrong with being goofy. It's just, I don't know. Whatever. Apples and oranges. You know what I'm saying? Totally different animals.
They're both delicious.
Although I don't know necessarily if Gurren by itself or the Gurren,
I guess it's the handicap
combination.
Gurren by itself. That's the handicap. So that this is even, because last week we had a question about galaxy size Gurren Lagann versus some Transformers, and I was like, yeah, it doesn't matter because we'd be dead. They'd throw our galaxy at each other, and we wouldn't survive that. The whole fight would just be a bunch of jerks.
That was on the show we haven't heard yet.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sharing it now, which means that listeners are going to have heard this twice. They're going to be going like, why didn't you just edit the show in time?
Two episodes in a row where people want Gurren Lagann characters to fight Transformers.
Yep.
What's going on with these? What's going on?
Society. You know, occupation Gurren Lagann.
Some sort of anger issues or something. I'm not sure what is going on with these.
I want all my heroes to fight for my amusement. Stairs. This is how Julius Caesar was born.
Or, you know, Marvel Civil War.
Marvel Civil War started off so good.
Just have all the heroes fight.
It started off so okay, and then, like, just when the stupid clone Thor shot what's his name, Bill, with lightning, and then the whole storyline just became this, like, weak sauce, spiritless little, I don't know. I was really into Civil War for 3 weeks and then really not into it for another, or 3 months, and really not into it for another 3 months. But that aside,
the ending was really, really just, really, it's over? It just sort of like stopped.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like an ending. Guys, it's just like, we gotta wrap this up.
Two armies of superheroes. Yeah. Two armies of superheroes. The city's in ruins. And a child just fell down. Oh, I surrender. This whole 6 months of buildup and all this heartache. Now, someone got hurt. I surrender. And I turned my back on all the people who stood with me as well. I entirely surrender to you, Iron Man. Stupid. And they had this other ending that they had a Marvel summit. And from that, we learned that they had a completely other, like, separate ending, which would have been the whole thing fighting to a standstill. Captain America and Iron Man fighting to a standstill and then going like, hey, listen. We gotta stop this. I, Captain America, will stand down my army if, and only if, superhero registration is headed up by my longtime friend and confidant, Iron Man, Tony Stark. And it would have been them shaking hands, and it would have been a whole bunch of superheroes being superheroes. But no,
well,
they didn't do that.
And then they did the assassination of Steve Rogers. That should have been the end of Civil War.
Yeah. Yeah,
it would have been a much more, you know, ending.
Yeah.
Or an ending that led to something instead of just stopping and then having what could have been the actual ending in some other comic later. I don't know.
This is why, halfway through Civil War, I just jumped entirely onto Annihilation and then was sold on Annihilation when they basically said in character, "Wow, this Civil War thing sure is dumb." I was like, "Yeah, it is the way it's going right now." Thank you, Nova, for saying that. Anyway, hope that answered your question, Sea Spray 10. we also have
Why can't Gurren and Transformers be friends?
Yeah, why do they have to? Why are they fighting? Why are they having fisticuffs over what? Like, did Kamina walk in and go like, "Oh, Ascension robots are not brave"? And then, like, did RC like see Yoko totally macking on like Cliffjumper's corpse or something? And that got real twisted. Anyway. Did she find out that Yoko kissed Cliffjumper right before episode one? Sorry, that's too soon.
Oh, Doom Bitch.
Yeah. Anyway. I want to stop talking about Gurren Lagann. I talked about it enough last week. We have another listener question from Chicken, who sent this in on September 18th, 2011. Hello, Evangelist. Chicken here with a listener question, although I still want to say Chiken, or Kiken. Except my question is not a question at all. Strap yourselves in, for it is a hypothetical situation. The year is 2011.
Oh, no.
20 minutes into the future. Lead physicist Dr. Something or Other has created a multiversal transport device, 100% glitch-free. You get to use it. It lets you move freely between universes. A to B, A to C, B to C, K to X, you get the idea. And the universal stream identification system is fully compatible. Go nuts. What is this question? I don't understand what this question is about. What are we doing?
The question is go nuts.
All right.
Go nuts.
All right. I travel to Universe Q and I have 50 children with a giant pulsating computer chip. I don't know.
I was kind of disappointed because he's like, the year is 2011, 20 minutes into the future. I'm disappointed that we're not still 6 months behind on listener questions, so this actually came out at the beginning of 2012 and thus created a paradox, destroying all known universes by dividing by zero.
Damn it, Dr. Something or Other! The question said 2011!
Go nuts! That's pretty nuts!
Yeah! Like, I mean, if I could traverse the multiverse, I mean, I'd keep searching for that perfect megalomaniacal robot insectoid looking computer lady and take over the multiverse as it should be. There you go.
I'd go to a universe where the internet in Toronto didn't suck and we had to deal with this stupid Skype lag tonight.
Yeah, I would go to another universe where the Skype lag just got me, because I started talking when it was dead silence, and then Evangelist started blathering away again, because he can't wait 2 seconds without hearing the sound of his own voice reverberating in his head. But anyway, I would go to the universe where the Prime toys were actually sold in America, and thus restoring balance to the universe, where the Canadians have to pay more, and the Americans have an abundance. And
that's two nuts.
And the British are left out in the cold yet again.
Yeah, I got to throw shots out. I mean, I was going like, oh man, the price of these Prime toys. And then my Twitter pal Dashiana, who lives in Finland, was like, I wish I lived somewhere with toys. And I was like, oh right, Europe. I mean, yeah, Europe. Are they ever even going to see these things? Oh man. I go to a universe where Europe doesn't get screwed out of all toys, where there's a giant land bridge, so toys can be driven to Europe to supply the European collectors. That's my dream. I gotta come clean. I didn't read this question. I just copy-pasted it, and I just read it for the first time here and now. So, yeah, that's a pretty good question. Thank you.
Go nuts!
Go nuts! Actually, it's not go nuts, it's go nuts. It just has a period at the end.
I travel to a universe of sentient nuts.
And have children with all of them.
Where the pistachio is king.
Go to every dimension where things that are not supposed to be able to walk around and procreate can walk around and procreate. Spread the seed of the Vangelis.
I go to a universe where Vangelis walks around and procreates.
Seth just watches him. He follows him around and watches him procreate with everything.
Quietly.
Well, it's a universe where things that aren't supposed to procreate do, and Vangelis is not supposed to.
I am banned! Yeah, actually, I like that question.
Nightmarish future world where people drive in cars with spikes and jaggedy bits on them, hunting and fighting for gas, and Vangelis is not allowed to mate with anything.
I just walk around with a giant, like, metal cod piece with a huge lock in the front, just going like, "Let me see." Oh, thank you, chicken. Thank you very much. That was entirely worth doing. I'm happy now.
We are like less than an hour in, and we're almost done with the show already.
What happened to the news? What happened to the news?
Friggin' movie garbage, and nobody gives a poop anymore.
I have a discussion point. Let's throw this in the topic list because someone has to talk about this at some point. You've both seen it, but I'm sharing it in Skype chat right now. The link is called "I'd Probably Cuddle It" from Mind of the Muse. This link has gotten around, or at least photo has gotten around a whole bunch.
I have not seen this yet.
You haven't seen this?
I don't want to discuss it.
But look at the one where he's peeking over his shoulder and gritting his teeth.
Oh my god.
Like he's
god.
Just getting ready to receive it. For listeners'
dog
information.
Is a Starscream completist. No. He has to have it.
Hey, you do have to get this. This is a Starscream.
This is not official.
Somebody buy it for him. Make him have it.
we're talking about a special pillow. We're not going to specify too much else because if you haven't seen this, you will. If you're a Transformers fan, at some point, someone's going to be clever and say, "Hey, did you see this yet?" And then they're going to ruin your day.
This is horrible.
I just love how the one where he's on his back, he's all like, "Hey, what's up? I'm Starscream." But then the one where he's lying on his belly, he's all like, "Oh no, here it comes!"
This is awful.
I can't believe you hadn't seen this yet.
No. Oh, God.
I like that one of the tags on this blog post is "Thank you, Japan." Anyway. Now that we've had this wonderful discussion about a wonderful pillow, this seems like a perfect place for an intermission break. So we can all think about this. So we'll be back in a sec, where we will at least talk about what we got this week. And I got some damn Prime Transformers, so I'm going to talk about those. And then for everyone else out there, I also got Glios. So get ready to rage. We'll be back in a second.
Yeah. must be a pillow talking boy for me. There must be a boy. There must be a boy. There must be a boy. There must.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. And I hope that you enjoyed our last topic of discussion, because we sure did. We're going to talk about what we got this week now. And I already sort of gave away what I got this week, so I want to quickly talk to you other gents about what you might have gotten this week. Seth, did you get any Transformers this week?
No, I did not. Thank you for asking.
I caught that on Twitter, but I wanted to get it on recording, too.
And I just want to go on record and say that that's partially my fault, because I have something I was supposed to send to Seth, and due to circumstances I will get into in my off-topic discussion, that didn't happen as quickly as I would have liked. But I can promise Seth that he will have something on topic next odd-numbered episode.
Happy Thanksgiving! That's all right. We'll rotate back around. Once we get to the sinful part of the show. Gog, did you get any Transformers this week?
No.
Uh-oh. It's all on me. I should have opened up some... I have some Transformers I didn't open up because I wanted to have Transformers for next week, too. So now it's just me and my two Prime toys. All right, well... after that story I told at the beginning of the podcast where I almost missed an entire final exam and then ended up getting a really good grade on it, in my opinion, I decided that I was like, all right, I feel pretty wigged out. I'm going to go toy hunting because now I'm in Ontario, and apparently Ontario is the first place in North America to get Prime toys, and that's kind of cool. So I went looking around, went to Dufferin Mall, went to Toys R Us, I saw the Laserbeak wave of Dark of the Moon Deluxes, which I've never seen on shelves here. So I almost just grabbed Laserbeak, but I was like, no, I gotta stay focused. We gotta stay focused, go for Primes. Went to the Walmart and found that exact same wave on rollback for $10 a piece. So that's what I'm gonna be talking about next week, is a couple of Dark of the Moon Deluxes. And I was like, okay, this Toys R Us didn't have any, but that was also confirmed on Cybertron.ca, but... in this very same thread, someone said Eglinton had some, and that's the next place I usually go to. Went to Eglinton, saw the Prime toys from a mile away, walked on over, and I want to say something here. Transformers Prime is the best Transformers carded line in a long time for quick skimming, because the top right corner of the card is a custom-cut giant picture of the character inside the package. So all I had to do was step to the right of the aisle and look for about 5 seconds to see there were no RCs, a ton of Bumblebees, and a few Starscreams. So I was originally going to leave Bumblebee behind for a while and pick him up sometime later, but I was like, I want two Prime toys. So I grabbed Bumblebee and I grabbed Starscream, who I've been desperately wanting to get ever since I got to mess with Piaz back at TFCon. And so quickly, I want to talk about Bumblebee. Because I mentioned this in 172 as well, but over the course of the last couple weeks and constantly checking my Bumblebees for breakages because of the recently discovered problem with his inner shoulder clips snapping, I have actually kind of grown fond of this toy. I will throw in a brief update, though. My New York Comic Con Bumblebee now has a stress mark on his inner gray shoulder hook, so I guess I was not as safe as I thought. But the first edition Bumblebee, he is in a much brighter yellow than the New York one. The New York one's is kind of like a little bit of a darker mustardy yellow. The first edition Bumblebee is bright ass Bumblebee yellow. He looks, PR had a really good way of describing it. This Bumblebee looks way more like a toy than the New York one, which is sort of a bummer. But on the bright side, this Bumblebee also has way better translucent blue plastic because it can actually light pipe. And his crazy mute giant Bumblebee eyes light pipe really nicely, at least on mine. But the bumper pieces that slide down a half millimeter, they do not budge on this first edition Bumblebee that I got. So that's a bit of a bummer. Otherwise, he's the same figure. I have warmed up to this deluxe Bumblebee. It has its fair share of problems, but if you can get the chest hooked together right, I think it looks actually pretty cool. And now I have two blasters, so I can have him with a gun on each arm, which is nice. Gog, you've got the New York set, right?
Yeah, me and Seth both.
Yeah, are you guys thinking of...
He never remembers anything I say.
Are either of you guys thinking of ever buying a Transformers Prime toy?
Shut up.
I know you haven't gotten it yet. So, how do you feel about first edition Bumblebee? Are either of you guys considering it, or do you feel happy with your taxicab Bumblebee?
Well, as I was talking about before, if you want to get the figures at a reasonable price, at least from BBTS, you have to buy them all together. So I was actually planning on skipping the first edition Bumblebee, seeing as number one, I already had the mold. Number two, they're going to be releasing a newer version of the figure, which I assume is probably going to be better than this one. So yeah, I was going to pass on it completely, but at this rate, I kind of have to get him unless I want to pay piecemeal at $20 a pop for the rest.
That's such a bummer.
Who knows? I mean, if indeed they're not coming out till January, one of the good things that BBTS does do is they allow you to cancel your pre-orders up until they come in stock and they charge you. So, I do hope that we get more options between now and then, which I assume we will. I mean, it's not like BBTS is going to be the only ones carrying them, but
yeah.
So, but at this point, yes, I do have this Bumblebee on pre-order, not by choice, but
by necessity. That's going to make him an even worse toy to open up. Damn. Cause it's like, it's going to be like that. What was that repaint that everyone got from Generations and then couldn't get rid of? Oh, I can't remember what it was now. I remember there was a deluxe toy. I think it was from Generations, and it was in a wave with a bunch of cool new toys. But everyone got this repaint. No, it was Revenge of the Fallen. It was the red windshield sideswipe that everyone got because he was in a wave with a bunch of new toys. I remember no one could even give away that toy. I'm starting to feel that might happen to this Bumblebee. Seth, were you? What's your name again?
Steve.
Steve Sam.
All right, Jimmy.
Scott.
Steve Sam James Scott.
Stephen.
You got a lot of names. That's pretty amazing.
Might be one of those.
Do you like Bumblebee?
No.
Oh.
I actually, I liked the paint job on that New York one. I'm not really a fan of that mold much at all. So, I mean, that is kind of driving me away from the rest of, if I have to get all of them to get any of them, then I'm not really that real interested because I don't want to buy that Bumblebee again.
Yeah.
Where if I could have walked into a store and gotten RC, I would have felt okay with getting her again in her normal colors because I am really impressed with that mold. And I'd probably get Starscream just because, check out Starscream. Even though my hopes are higher for however he's going to turn out as a Voyager.
But, yeah.
I mean, if I have to buy all of them, and that includes Bumblebee, I'm kind of like, this New York Bumblebee is good enough for me.
Hey guys, Bumblebee. That kind of sucks. I mean, I've warmed up to this mold now that I've got him into a proper stance. And to the credit of the first edition release, he also has just a little bit more color variance on him, which makes his chest seem a little bit more dynamic. But those are all real, real small beans. If you're one of the many who just doesn't like the mold, and there are a lot of folks who just don't like the mold. And it is unfortunately a fragile mold, it seems, with those shoulder clips. They're precarious. I thought they'd be... go ahead.
I was going to say, Gerodimus broke his clip as well.
Oh, man. I assumed they were palm, but now that I've seen one with a stress mark, I'm thinking that's not palm at all. It looks like ABS, and those things probably shouldn't have been done in ABS. Because I can see how the way the break can happen is that it's not like they're weak clips, but it's so easy to put humongous amounts of sideways force on them once the clip is hooked together, just due to the way that the shoulders work. I think those might have turned out better if they were done in POM, POM plastic. But that's Bumblebee. Oh, and he totally comes with a doofy card. They all come with a doofy cardboard display stand, which I intend to fully collect and never throw out, so I can have a giant tower of blue rocks that have the words Transformers Prime on them. The star of the show for me, though, in this hall was Starscream, because now I'm messing with a Starscream that isn't Piaz. It's not one that someone has transformed a few hundred times. It doesn't have red Sharpie accents added to parts of its body. All that having been said, this is Starscream is still really, really good. Like, really well done. I am impressed with the Starscream yet again. If you're only going to get one Prime toy, decide whether you want RC or Starscream, because those are the two stars of this opening wave of deluxes. Cliffjumper looks like he might be a contender as well, but I got to mess with one in hand. But this Starscream, much like in that review I did of him using Piaz, he has so many impressive aspects to him. He does a mass shift, so he changes from a tiny jet to a really tall, lanky robot. He's really nicely poseable, and his joints all are in tune with his personality and his aesthetic. The way his backpack forms is genius. The only problem with him is that he does use a very bendy plastic on a few pointy parts. One of those pointy parts is his forehead fin. And on mine, and probably on anyone's who just gets mispackaged slightly, it totally is bent to the right. Now, on the bright side, it's really soft PVC and completely unpainted, so I'm sure if I use like some hot water or a hairdryer, I've been trying to just breathe on it, but that's not heating it up enough, it should be really easy to fix. But that's something to be aware of. Otherwise, I am really liking this Starscream, and I am so pleased to have him in hand once again. Because the first thing I wanted to do was mess with Starscream a bunch to see if maybe anything I did in the review was hastily stated, because I only got to mess with the toy for about half an hour total. But I stand by what I said. He is a fantastic deluxe. And for a toy that's technically a preview toy, Starscream and RC, really, they both go above and beyond the call of what they needed to do. Gog, you're not going to be disappointed with the Starscream, I don't think.
I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully I don't have to wait till January.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to look around. I don't know. It's just if I try to ferry one to you, the cost of it at cost is going to suck.
Oh, yeah, it's whatever. We'll talk about it after record. It's
you know. Just FYI to everyone, like I said, like you're going to be looking at possibly $30 for a deluxe if you try to get it through Canada, and that's not someone trying to make a profit. That's just the unfortunate reality of it. These things are nearly $20 after tax. Shipping's going to be at least $10 if you're lucky. And, you know, that's how it goes. It sucks. However, if you do get a chance to get Deluxe Starscream, he is very top tier, in my opinion. Like, his only weaknesses really are, you know, that rubbery fin on his head can bend. Maybe his leg poseability is a bit limited compared to how it seems like it might be, but I've never had trouble getting him into a pose that I wanted to put him in. The only other problem I've had with him, which I think is just a case of plastic, is that the socket parts of his shoulder ball joints are a little bit stress marked on the ridges, but I do not believe that's like a potential crack. I think that's just the plastic stretching around the ball socket joint. I'll update if anything bad happens, but I'm not really seeing anything to be worried about. Starscream is definitely well worth your time. And I wish I could find an RC, because I need to see that RC in blue in person. Because it left such a good impression on me in the cabinet at New York Comic Con. No, I'm not talking any smack on pink and white RC, but blue RC in the cabinet looked a million times better. And I am really, really hoping I can find that figure over the next week. Yeah, Transformers Prime Toys. Canadians. Go and look. It's in Ontario right now, and that means it's going to probably over the next 2 weeks, it's going to spread to both coasts. So let's do what we can. Let's keep our eyes out. Let's let each other know what's out there. And if an American wants your help, or anyone wants your help, just, you know, let them know what the cost is. And if they're a friend of yours, if they're willing to go through that, or if you can afford to gift them some of that stuff, just best of luck. Let's get those Prime toys out to the people who need them if we can. Because these are some great Transformers. I saw a great comment on Piaz's review of Cliffjumper. I don't entirely agree with it, but I kind of smiled when I saw it. It was someone who said, it was something like, well, that explains the lackluster Dark of the Moon line. They were just putting that out to cover for all the effort they're putting into the Prime toys. And I was like, you know, I like a lot of Dark of the Moon toys, but something about that quote kind of resonates with me as well, because I like a lot of Dark of the Moon toys, but I don't really remember any of them. And Prime Starscream especially, I remember this toy. Like, this toy leaves an impression on me. So, good things to come, no matter how long or how difficult it may be for them to get there. That aside, the other two Transformers I got, I have not opened yet, so I got nothing to say on them until next week. I did see the Amazon.com Unicron on shelves at our Toys R Us for $80 plus tax. So thank you, Crasis. You saved me like 20-some dollars of Canadian kerfuffle. So much love to my high-end bro over there. I hear he knows a whole lot.
Kerfuffle.
Yeah, I hear kerfuffle he knows a lot about
coffee. Delicious.
That's my favorite X-Men is kerfuffle. Kerfuffle from X-Men Team Gold.
Mutant powers. You mean what was originally X-Factor and then it became X-Men later?
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
I love it when Chris Claremont writes those X-Factor books about Kerfuffle and Stryker and Cable and Warlord. My favorite characters. I guess that's all the Transformers we got this week. The ladies and gentlemen, the drought, we are so close to the drought being over. I might still do it, but I was hitting the same, I was eyeing the Scan series even. I was like, well, they look nice. Maybe I'll buy one of those so I have a Transformer. Thank you, Ontario. All right. I guess
thanks,
that means
Ontario.
Yeah. Thank
thanks
you.
Thanks for making America look bad.
Thanks for waiting for me to come here so you can, I get to hunt for Prime toys. Oh, it's so nice. And as I said, I want to get that deluxe Megatron, and the more I look at these prices online, the more I think that probably sometime in December I'm going to eat the cost and probably just get the stupid $50 entertainment pack. But I don't know. I'm not addicted. I'm not addicted at all. Seth, did you get anything off topic this week?
Toys? No.
Aww.
But I did get a few things that people might find, you know, at least interesting.
Hmm.
Or at least kind of overlapping with other interests. So, playing, you know, Batman Arkham City
has gotten me
really Batman-y these days. So I jumped on the Amazon. I ordered that Batman Year One Blu-ray. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to probably this weekend. And then I ordered a couple trade paperbacks. I got Long Halloween and the Year One comic. And so I opened the box, I pulled the trades out, and I just sort of flipped through the Year One comic, and I went, and I thought, I read this already. Now that I'm actually seeing the pages, this is the second time I've bought Year One now. I know I read this sometime in the past. So, yeah, I'm going to read that again on a new copy, even though I probably have it somewhere. And Long Halloween, which I really don't know anything about. But Calendar Man is in it. And that achievement's kind of dickish in Arkham City, the Calendar Man one.
I still haven't even... I don't even know if I've started that one.
Well, you missed the first step. Well, there's two ways to get it. Like, you can do it the right way, which is you have to play Arkham City on 12 different holidays.
Oh, God.
And go talk to Calendar Man on all those days. And the next one is American Thanksgiving. So that's in a couple weeks. And the first one was Halloween. So then the other thing you could do is keep changing the clock in your Xbox or your PlayStation, whatever video game system you're playing on. And keep changing your clock to those dates, and then just go do it one at a time. Much faster.
Anarchy style, renegade style.
Yeah, because eventually you're going to forget. like a couple months are going to be in between holidays, and you haven't been playing Arkham City. You moved on to other games. And
yeah.
Oh, no, Flag Day!
I think a better way to handle that achievement would say, talk to Calendar Man on one holiday or two holidays or something like that. Like, here's 12 holidays. Talk to him on two of those days to get the achievement. But asking people to say, yeah, you need to play our game on Thanksgiving Day, on Christmas Day, on New Year's Day, that's asking a lot. I mean, yeah, you can cheat and do it. So, but it's kind of like, yeah...
I almost missed Halloween, and I had just started playing like a week earlier.
Oh, I knew people that on Halloween, when they booted the game up that night, they had forgotten that they were in one of the Catwoman missions, and the mission doesn't, or the achievement doesn't click if you are Catwoman. So they had no way to get there as Batman because they were playing as the Catwoman section.
Have you gone to talk to Calendar Man as Catwoman?
I haven't, but I heard from several people on Halloween that were pissed off because they didn't get credit for it.
Yeah, well, I went and found like all the villains that I could as Catwoman to talk to them, and like some of them are pretty good. Like when you go talk to Penguin, and you could go talk to Calendar Man, you could go talk to Mr. Freeze, and they have Catwoman specific dialogue.
But I didn't know that.
Yeah, Calendar Man starts talking about her birthday. So, maybe there's something that you could come back to and do with Calendar Man on Catwoman's birthday. So I go to Comic Vine to look up her birthday. And while I'm looking, I did a Google search, like Catwoman's birthday at Comic Vine. And then some of the other results were specifically asking, when is Catwoman's birthday, Arkham City? So I'm like, oh, check this out. So I click on one of them, and it's like some game forum. It's like, when's Catwoman's birthday? Because Calendar Man said this thing. And they said, well, officially in the comics, it's this date. But I guess in that room is a calendar with Catwoman's birthday marked on it. And it's a different date than the official comic birth date. And that they tried resetting their system clocks to both of those dates, and nothing happens.
Hmm. What if you add the dates?
Patch.
What if you add the dates together and then try that date?
Well, that would be awesome if they made it that complicated.
And then all you get is
figures it out.
All you get is like one line of recorded dialogue.
A Calendar Man slowly limps up to the door and he says, "Happy birthday," and sits back down.
That'd be worth it. That would be about as anticlimactic as the hunt down six Titan containers side mission ending.
Yeah,
that was the most anticlimactic thing.
Yeah,
no, not spoiling anything, but
oh yeah, you could go talk to Bane as Catwoman also.
Well, you have to if you get all of her trophies, because they conveniently put trophies. Next to the villains, like. With Freeze, where Freeze ends up after you do his story thing with Batman, in the room where Freeze ends up, there's a Catwoman trophy there. So it's kind of cool how they did that. They placed Catwoman trophies in all these places that kind of forced you to talk to the villains. So
I went to some places without villains, like where those cops are barricaded in the Iceberg Lounge. I went up and knocked on that door. I knocked on the door of the church where where some more cops and the doctors were barricaded, and they have Catwoman dialogue. And then I tried to talk to Deadshot. Like I was standing on like a little deal that's the same height as where he ends up. And he goes, "Hey, you," but then nothing ever happened. Like there was no prompt to press a button to talk to him.
I love Arkham City.
It's too bad Nightwing is only in the Riddler Revenge.
I'm hoping from the rumored episodic DLC add-ons that Mark Hamill might have mistakenly talked about.
Well, somebody asked one of the producers from the game at some sort of convention or something, and they just said, "I don't think I'm allowed to talk about that."
Yeah, apparently what happens is they say that, and then Mark Hamill says, oh, I recorded all this dialogue for all this crazy stuff. And they're like, oh. No, not him. And this time, sorry, it was Kevin Conroy this time. It was like, yeah, I recorded all this crazy dialogue as Batman. The beautiful future of gaming.
But anyway, so I got two more things that Vangelis should be pretty excited about, unless he noticed the Twitter tweet that I put out.
I saw the Twitter tweet.
These things.
I saw that.
Then you know what I'm talking about.
Yep, I'm excited.
So I got two musical compact discs.
Oh, I saw this.
Of the band The Notorious MSG, which we have heard at least twice in intermissions. So I got
Red Face tonight.
Yeah, I got the Lunch Money limited edition EP, which doesn't seem that limited edition, because when you order it from Amazon, they have the discs made to order.
So limited edition made to order.
It's so limited that the only discs of it that have been made are the people who have ordered it.
Yeah,
that's pretty limited.
And the Heavy Ghetto album, and I haven't had time to listen to them yet. Just got them yesterday, but. Yeah, I started digging through their YouTube channel, and I didn't know about the Schoolhausen little PSA videos that they did. Damn, they're awesome. They're so funny.
Yes, their YouTube channel is fantastic, and I don't know if it's still like this, but if you their new single about getting drunk, Red Faced. It was up for free download on their Facebook page for a while after it came out. Grabbed that immediately. It made me proud.
Yeah, I showed my dad the Red Face video, and he's like, "Who were these guys?" Like, he was actually kind of into it a little bit. But on the Wikipedia page for them, I guess they had some. TV show development deal with Comedy Central like a year ago. So I'm assuming nothing came of it. But man, that could have been awesome. Notorious MSG show. Especially after watching those little sketches that they have on their YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one about taking pictures of your abs for Facebook. Oh man, that was freaking hilarious. What are you doing? Taking pictures for the ladies. The lady, it gets the ladies hot. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. They get really hot.
any listener out there who wants to see some damn good stuff, look up the Notorious MSG. And if you look them up and you're like, that wasn't any good, then just get out of my face.
Yeah, I mean, a dude in that group is called the Hunan Bomb. Like, come on.
Yes.
That's
and
awesome.
He's Korean. That's the best part. I want to pick up those CDs myself, because I like having physical compact discs of audio music data.
Yeah, because, like, on Amazon, I could have just bought MP3 downloads, but I also like having a disc that, and then I'll just rip it myself. And I'll probably never listen to it off the disc. I'll rip and throw it on my iPod. But I don't know. I just like to
I'm
have
like that, too.
Like that backup hard copy, I guess.
Yeah.
And the cover picture for Heavy Ghetto is really cool looking. Like, one of the things that I think works with these guys so well is, yeah, it's a joke. But, like, they're kind of serious in the music, like, but a lot of the lyrics are funny, but they're not playing it as funny. Like, they're really straight faced about it, even though, like, in the middle of their gangster rap song, they're like dropping lines about Chinese food and just, I don't know. It's good. It's a good balance.
That's why
weirdness and not even acknowledging that it's weird.
That's why it works, is because they're so straight-faced. No, we are the Notorious MSG about it. Apparently, like, I read on the Wikipedia that, like, they stay in character hanging out with fans at their shows, And I really respect that. They're full on into this thing. Like, no, we are these guys. Yeah, that's good stuff. I wholly support the purchasing of music from the Notorious MSG. I intend to do the same when I am able to. I'm not hunting down robots.
Yeah, I just remember when I showed you the Chinatown Hustler video at that BotCon. And I couldn't remember the name of the group because it had been a couple years since I had become aware of it. And then when I found it, I was like, oh, finally, this is it. Okay, check this out. And then, like, you were so kind of stone-faced watching it, and you weren't laughing or smiling or anything. And I started getting a little worried, like, oh, no, I hope he's not, like, getting all offended or something. And then, like, halfway through the song, you just finally went, I love this. I was like, okay, cool. Everything's cool.
Staring at this thing.
And finally, I love this.
I have big time like that. That's music is music that just gets me all ready to go. I'm just like, yeah, red face tonight. Let's turn that on. Let's get ready for the day. Notorious MSG, check them out. Please do check them out. They are worth your time. Hopefully someday they will play Toronto and not have their gig get canceled by a bunch of wusses running the show. Like, we think that their material might be offensive to our audience. It's like, yeah, well, I'm offensive to your audience. So suck it up.
Oh, and then just like a quick little extra. I saw Cinematic Titanic live last weekend.
Oh, how was that?
It was so funny. It's unbelievably funny. Man. Just like there was barely any movie to be heard. Like it was just almost nonstop jokes. And man, the movie was awful. It was called Alien Factor. Holy crud, was it bad. Like right at the beginning, there's two teenagers drinking whiskey and making out in a car parked in the middle of nowhere. And they're mm-hmm. like, oh, teenagers partying in a car in a monster movie. Might as well just paint a big red X on them right now. And oh man, this is crazy. But the show's really cool. Like, all five of them come out one at a time and do a little bit. So like Frank Condiff does some stand up and Josh Weinstein does. You see him the most. He's there with some of the other people. He plays a bass, so like he does a little musical accompaniment. Well, Mary Jo Fee reads from her book and Trace Ballou reads from his children's book. I know I just mispronounced his name, but I can't wrap my tongue around his actual last name. and then Josh does the Mystery Science Theater 3000 theme song, plays his bass and sings it, and the audience jumps in with all the la la la's, and then Joel comes out and does a magic trick. He just does a magic trick, and then they start the show.
Sounds like an awesome stage thing.
He's like, I'm going to do this magic trick, so I'm going to rip up this newspaper, and now it's not ripped up anymore. Right.
Right.
Yeah, it was really good. If you were a MST fan and you get the chance, like definitely check him out. It's totally worth it.
Awesome.
And that's it.
All right. Oh, that's really cool. That's a whole lot of non toys. Yep. And I am entirely okay with that. Gog, how off topic did you get this week?
I got blatantly felony level off topic this week.
More off topic than not even getting toys at all.
But I did get some toys, but going back to something I had said earlier, I got Seth a Warpath because he's mentioned several times. I've never seen it ever in my life. Never seen one, and there's like 15 Warpaths at every store here. So was gonna ship that out for him, last weekend until one of my friends told me, like, oh, yeah, hey, look at this link. And, yeah, suddenly Radiohead announced tour dates, and one of them was going up for sale in, like, 2 days, and I hadn't budgeted for that. and I was like, oh, okay, I kind of want to see them because I like Radiohead, and I caught their last tour back in 2008. But Radiohead will sell tickets directly from their website as kind of pre-sale tickets, and they sell out fast because they don't have a mutt. They don't sell a lot of them, but they're also relatively cheap, and they are generally the best seats in the house. when I caught their tour in 2008, most of the people standing around me had paid upwards of $1,000 a ticket off of eBay. And they were like, yeah, how much did you pay for your ticket? I'm like, $50. So I was on their site. They said they were going to be sold in the AM. I think, was it Tuesday? So I had no idea how much they were going to be. They didn't say. They just said, yeah, we're probably going to sell them on Tuesday. So I'm like, all right. So I woke up Tuesday morning and half the tour dates were already sold out. I'm like, ah! I kept the one that I'm going to in Tampa was not sold out yet, but I kept trying to add the ticket to the cart and it said, your cart's empty. And I was like, oh man, this thing's already sold out.
Any collector.
Yeah, exactly. So after refreshing a few times, I tried back 10 minutes later and it went through. So I got really lucky. And then about half an hour after that, they were all sold out.
Oh, nice.
So yeah. So that'll be fun. But also after that, I think I had $11 left in my bank account. I'm like, well, Seth is going to get Warpath next week. Sorry.
That's okay.
Because I went my lunch money that I had budgeted for the rest of the week. Because I paid off. I also paid off my car this week, which I made a double car payment on. So, yeah. So that was nice. So that also means that next year I have a lot more money. So I can't have any excuses not to go to TFCon.
Come to TFCon!
So that will be in the works. But toy-wise, I just got a bunch of random stuff. I don't think any of it was necessarily stuff I was planning on getting. But again, not really anything Transformers-related out. From the looks of it, stuff I'm interested in, even longer than I expected, but whatever.
Bummer.
But one thing I always wanted to do was get the Marvel vs. Capcom 3 mini-mates that they're doing. Because apparently they're going to do all the game characters in mini-mate form.
Oh, yeah, I keep seeing those, and I keep forgetting those are new, and I'm like, when did they make a Zero? And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, those just came out, like, in the last week or so. So, but the way they're doing it is there's two different versions of each wave. There's a special, there's a specialty shop version of a wave, and then there's a Toys R Us exclusive version of a wave. So, BBTS obviously falls into the specialty shop version, so there's 8 characters per wave, or per version of each wave. 4 of them are, or well, 2 pair are exclusive to either the specialty store or Toys R Us, and then 4 of them are shared. So I'm gonna, the way it's looking now, I'm probably gonna get the 8 pack of the all the ones that are available at the specialty wave from BBTS, and then I found the 2 pair that are exclusive to Toys R Us, which I've bought. And that is Mayor Hagar and Hulk and Zero and Magneto. Those 4 are exclusive to Toys R Us. So they're cool. I mean, they're mini mates. They all share the same stuff, but it's kind of interesting because they're becoming way more creative with the extra parts that they're molding. Like looking at the old Hulks, he was just a regular mini mate body with a Hulk paint job and Hulk hair. But the newer Hulks that they're doing, like, it's almost like he has a bodysuit over his entire body. Like, not just the chest, but also the arms. The arms are wider, and the legs are way thicker, and he makes him stand a little taller than him. So it's cool that they're actually, while they're certainly not any type of realistic scale, they are trying to make the larger characters larger. So, and even Mayor Hagar, like, his strap, like, he's bare-chested. He's bare-chested as all hell, but he's got like a leather strap that goes across his back like a single suspender, and that's actually molded onto him, which is like, wow.
Oh,
like,
nice.
All the detailing that they do with paint, and they molded a strap. It's like, okay. But
now that one Marvel character, like the eyeball guy, the tentacle eyeball guy.
Yeah. They haven't shown him yet. There were some that they haven't shown, and I was wondering if they were even going to do him. But like with what's his name? MODOK. So I was like, well, they probably won't do a MODOK. Well, freaking Boardwise twittered me. He's like, oh, well, look at this. And they actually showed the MODOK. It was on, I'll see if I can find the picture while I'm talking. But so I'm wondering, because it looks at this point like they are kind of actually making an effort to do every character from the game. But yeah, that Shumagorath guy, he's one of the ones that we haven't seen yet. So I have no idea. Because the thing with Shumagorath is he was a DLC character, along with Jill Valentine, Resident Evil 5 version. But Jill has already got her mini-mate. I think she's in, like, Wave 1 or 2. So I have no idea if they're going to do Shumagorath. They're doing Sentinel, and he's huge. He's got a bunch of custom parts to make him look giant. So it's going to be interesting.
I really wish I'd been able to get to the mini-mate's booth at New York Comic Con, or at least the Diamond booth that had them on display. Because mini-mates, they had a whole panel for mini-mates I didn't manage to go to. And like you said, like when I saw that Zero, I think that's the one where I was like, what is that? And they're like, mini-mates. And I was like, oh, he has stuff on him. So I am also used to the idea of mini-mates just being the same figure with paint jobs and special hats and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, oh yeah, here's the official line art for MODOK. I saw the actual figure, but here, look at this. This is hilarious.
MODOK. I might want to get this.
But,
Oh man, I want that.
Yeah. And his legs are the,
you can kick.
Here it is. Here's the actual picture.
Well, that's interesting how in that artwork they show a mini-mate in the MODOK shell.
Yeah, look at that. That's the actual figure.
Oh, man.
He just has the little mini-mate legs, like, sticking out the bottom.
He looks so pleased with himself.
Yeah, and I pre-ordered Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom from Best Buy, which means I get the Elvis MODOK alternate costume. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I saw a picture of it.
Yeah, it's pretty glorious. I mainly got that because that also has the Annihilation costume for Super Skrull, so it gets the black trench coat, which is awesome.
Oh, nice.
But, Elvis MODOK. So, yeah, these mini-mates are great, and I'm not huge into mini-mates. I think for what they are, they're pretty expensive, but I think they are trying to give you more more bang for your buck with all the extra stuff, because almost nearly every figure nowadays has some sort of custom part. So at least they're trying to make you, because at Toys R Us in the U.S., it's after tax, it's $8 for a pair. So that's kind of expensive for basically two little minifigs. But, you know, with all the extra stuff they're putting on them, it does help make you feel like you're getting a little something for that, but but I think they're great. And my favorite out of the four that I got is easily Magneto, because he has a helmet, which is awesome. You can take the helmet off and give him a his hair. So let's see, copy right here. So, but and he comes with effects parts for his hands and a little stand that makes him look like he's flying.
That's cool.
Yeah, they're cool. I like them. So I don't know if I'll get any really past this, but I do plan on getting all of the Marvel vs. Capcom, so it's gonna end up being like 30 or 40 of these little dudes. But so outside of that, what did I get? I'm looking. Oh yeah, I actually found the Guardians of the Galaxy box set of Marvel Universe figures that Seth had gotten a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
I had almost ordered a few times from BBTS. I'm like, well, I've seen all the other waves of these box sets at retail, so I'm really hoping that I get these. And I was like, I had kind of resigned myself. If I don't see them by the end of this week, I'll probably go ahead and add it to my pile of loot. And like the day of the last day that I had resigned myself before I bought it, I found it at Toys R Us. So I like it. Drax is okay. He was cool because on his belt, they added the sheaths on his back, so he can have the knives back on his back. His torso joint is a little loose, but other than that, he's okay. Star-Lord, I'm really impressed with. The paint on the helmet could be a little better. It just seems a little light, but it's a minor complaint. I don't follow the parts count for Marvel Universe figures, but it does seem like a great deal of the parts on Star-Lord are unique. With it, at least with his torso and head, and extra parts like his collar and tailcoats and the coattails and all that. But Rocket Raccoon, Seth already talked about him. He's for the most part unposable, except for he has a ball jointed head and a ball jointed raccoon tail. But I mean, it's Rocket Raccoon. It's still really awesome that this little dude even got made. So I'm happy with the set overall. So I'm glad that they're making a 3 3/4 Nova. I guess they announced that at New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
So, trying to think of what other cosmic characters would really go in with that.
Beta Ray Bill,
guys, but yeah, and he's getting made.
Yep.
So,
and they got Adam Warlock happening too. I think he hasn't already come out.
Yes. So it's cool too, because it just seems weird, because like Cosmic Marvel has a reputation for kind of just being like the stepchild of Marvel, not getting as much love, but it's like in Marvel versus Capcom, the ultimate version that's coming out, like they introduced both Nova and Rocket Raccoon. It just seems like this weird marketing push by Marvel for these characters, like after their series have ended.
I almost want to say it feels like people who legitimately like those series got to work on these games, and when they hit, it felt to me like, especially with Rocket Raccoon, they hit a point, they're like, well, what's a crazy character we can put in? And then, the guy who was reading Guardians of the Galaxy up till it ended was probably just like, oh, guys, there's a space raccoon with guns from the Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, what does he sound like? Cockney. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, so... It's like a weird issue, but it's a good problem. So, but yeah, it's just weird. Like all these guys are getting love all of a sudden, like after the fact.
And it's not even the reason I say this is it doesn't feel like it's just corporate going like, well, what's a weird character, Rocket Raccoon? Because one of Rocket Raccoon's win quotes I saw, he literally goes like, oh, wish Groot was here. And I'm like, there's no way if this was a corporate decision, we wouldn't hear the word Groot. But Groot is in one of his win quotes.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, that is a fan who put this in. And I don't even care much for the MVC style of gameplay, but seeing Groot in the win quote for Rocket Raccoon actually made me start going like, I wonder if maybe I'll get this game sometime, maybe around Boxing Day. Like, yeah. I want to main Rocket Raccoon in Nova.
Absolutely. And the game's already coming out at a near budget price. It's retailing for $40, which means when it goes on sale, it'll be even lower than that.
So you have to pick a third dude.
Oh God. I'll find some Capcom schmo to put in there.
Super Skrull.
Oh right, super. Okay, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Team Annihilation. I'm set.
So, outside of that, did I get anything? I think that's really about it. It was a light week. I'll have more later. But
well, I've got some off-topic stuff I can talk about. Mainly two things. The first one being I also got Arkham City. I cashed in a year and a half of Swagbucks Amazon.ca gift cards, so I got Arkham City for a grand total of $17.
Okay, I have a question for you. Oh. How did you like Corey Burton as Hugo Strange?
He was good.
Yeah.
Okay, Arkham City, let me tell you one thing about Arkham City. All the voicing is great. Like, Nolan North as the Penguin is awesome. Maurice LaMarche's Mr. Freeze is eerie how close he got to the animated version. Mark Hamill's Joker, as always, is a joy. I heard a lot of people coming down on, who played Harley Quinn in this again?
Tara Strong.
Tara Strong. I almost said Cree.
Sorry.
I always get the Cree summer Tara Strong thing happening in my head, so I don't know why. But Tara Strong played Harley Quinn. I've seen a lot of people saying, like, that is not my Harley Quinn. She does not sound perfectly like your, DCAU Harley Quinn. But she still does a damn good job. The voicing in that game is incredibly strong.
I didn't even realize it wasn't.
Oh, yeah, no, it was. I could tell only because I think there were a few little things that I noticed, but it also helped that I knew going in that it wasn't the same voice actor. But there are some people who were...
Yeah, I haven't heard her from, like, the animated series in years and years, so... Was it her in Arkham Asylum?
Yeah, it was.
The original or Tara Strong?
The original.
Okay, so I don't even remember the difference from
that. Arlene Sorkin.
Okay, yeah. And so There was a lot of contention about that, and I think that while I see where that's coming from, Tara Strong did a damn good job still. And I just talk about the voicing. This game is really, really good. I really enjoy it. So that's also why 170. This one reason why 172 still isn't out yet is the sparse amount of spare time I had this week. I kind of let Arkham City eat it. I kind of just fed myself to the machine, and I didn't really mind. Like, I made the mistake. I had something to do, and I was like, "Oh, I'll play the intro of Arkham City." It was like 6 p.m. I was like, "I'll just play the intro." I didn't stop till 3 in the morning. I just kept going. So please do check out that game. It's well worth your time. I also got some stuff from Matt Dowdy. Two orders combined together. I have pictures to supplement what I'm talking about for the sake of the other podcasters. one thing Matt Dowdy does, he does a lot of collaboration. So I picked up this thing, which is by the company Real X Head, and this is my first foray into just an outright art vinyl. This is the Hades Fade In. And the reason why I picked this up, there's two reasons. Number one, his entire head is a giant chunk of glow-in-the-dark plastic, which is kind of cool. And the other thing is that his scarf is actual, like, leather or pleather that was hand-glued into the shape that it assumes by... They glued together the front and the back of the scarf around the head. And apparently that's why this RXH Faden, it took a long time for them to ship it because New York Comic Con swung around and they were having to hand glue all these little scarves. But I don't know if I'm going to pick up any more of these RXHs, but I kind of wanted to pick one up, and I really like the look of this one. It's done by a guy in Japan. They're vinyls. They're fully painted, though, aside from the glow-in-the-dark parts. The black paint on the body is this unbelievably dark black paint. And it ran $35. Not bad, because it was a production run, I believe, of under 100. So it sold out in about 45 minutes, which wasn't bad. The last RXH that came out sold out in about 5 minutes, and then Matt Dowdy apologized on his blog and said the next one we do, we're going to do a much bigger production run. And it seemed like they hit a really good number, because it took just under an hour to sell out, so you had a good window to pick it up. But I don't know. I like this because I like the Faden character from GLaDOS, and I like Matt Dowdy, and I like the craftsmanship on this thing, but I don't think I'm going to get into the world of vinyls anytime soon. Like these kind of vinyls, which are just like little men that you stand on your countertop. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've joined the ranks of Seth and D-Fuzz, and they're very, at least as far as I know, very brief foray into monies. Which are a similar sort of thing.
Dunnies.
Why did I say monies?
I only ever got one, but I guess D-Fuzz was into it for a while.
Okay. Yeah, I remember your YouTube video. This picture of Elvis MODOK is unbelievable. He has a microphone.
Yeah, it replaces his joystick.
Are they doing a mini made of this? Tell me they've got to be like a variant or something.
No word yet.
Hopefully. Oh, they need to. Anyway, that's my foray into vinyls, like little designer vinyl things. I also got just a big ass haul. The post New York Comic Con GLaDOS drop happened. A lot of stuff. I'm just going to talk about two things in particular. Number one, I got the parts to put together this really cool build that Matt came up with called the Rig Killer. This is two figures and two joint sets all mushed together. And basically, it's a little like a 4-inch, like 3 3/4 inch tall green robot man with a massive backpack and a giant piston for one arm and a giant gun for the other arm. And he's quite poseable. He's got axis joints, which means he has diagonal and horizontal vertical cut joints on his shoulders and crotch and his knees and elbows.
But we all took for granted that rigs were safe.
Nope. There's the Rig Killer. They're all dying. We got a crazy green robot walking around killing all our rigs. So I really like this is the next quote unquote official build for R-Gen. Who's a character I quite enjoy out of the GLaDOS pseudo story that's going on. He's a robot who is fighting for robot rights by killing things. The big thing though from this drop was the big rig. Which is, it's a vinyl thing, but it's not vinyl in the way that most vinyl toys are. It's made of vinyl, but it's basically a giant vehicle of moving parts. The rig is usually a four-piece vinyl that can kind of transform into different modes depending how you look at it and how you flip it around. The big rig is like that with safety wheels attached. So just in case you didn't see other modes in one of the normal rigs, this thing has another four giant pieces attached to it. They all swivel on basically like these big, just beefy vinyl swivel joints that you can pop apart quite easily. And it's an obscenely fun toy to me.
Is this the answer to the rig killer? They made the big rig?
Yep.
So now people are safe once again until they make the big rig killer?
The big rig killer is probably coming next. That is very likely. But the big rig, it was $50. And much love to Matt Dowdy for a couple things here. Number one, I interviewed him at New York Comic Con, and he was feeling really bad about the fact that this thing was going to cost $50. Because he's like, I don't know if people want to pay that much for something. And I was like, dude, you're down the aisle from the 3A booth. You know people probably want to pay crazy money for stuff. But Matt Dowdy is very, very, very conscious about wanting his stuff to be priced as close to at cost as it can be. So he didn't make many of these because he didn't think people would want to buy them. The big rig sold out in 5 minutes, followed by a blog post from Matt, which went like, well, I didn't think anyone was going to buy it, which I guess goes to show how good I am at predicting my own sales, which is not very good at all. And I was kind of happy that he was kind of like, yeah, I guess people do like the big rig, which hopefully means that we'll see more of this thing coming out in different color schemes. Phil Reed of battlegrip.com he photoshopped a color scheme for this thing, which literally is G1 Scorponok. And it looks kind of cool. So the big rig is, it's a big open source transformer. And, I think it's really, it's worth at least taking a look at if you're into transforming robots, because it crosses a really cool line between designer vinyl and just mecha. I just linked in the chat a picture to Phil Reed's Photoshop of the Scorpion big rig. So I got a bunch of Gliosises, and the big rig it's fun. I'm really glad I picked it up. And I just want to briefly send another link out, because another Glios vinyl vehicle is coming out this month, and it's a friggin' warp motorcycle, hover cycle with a Colgrim guy, which is like a skull-faced badass Glios man riding it. And I don't know, I like what these guys do. And also,
I saw when you tweeted that earlier, and I was looking at the picture. I went, maybe I'll try a Glios.
Yeah, it's coming out this month.
It looks kind of like Ghost Rider.
It's the bike and the rider. They're packaged together. The rider is going to have one of a kind custom level amounts of paint scheme done on him. Apparently, like, he's going to actually be painted up heavily with all those silver apps and stuff. I hope that they produce a lot of them, because I want to buy the two bikes, and I hope it's not going to be a 5 minute sale. But the last thing I want to throw out here, just to credit to Matt Dowdy and his wife, Michelle, when the big rig drop happened, they got all their orders in. So they had to pack these massive boxes full of giant vinyl things, and other orders of Glios parts. And then they immediately got hit with the multi-day blackout that hit that area. And basically within about 20 hours of the blackout ending, during the blackout, they were packing boxes, and as soon as the blackout ended, they just took them all to the post office and shipped them off immediately. So those big rigs, despite really nasty weather conditions, got to us within, for some people in the States, they got the big rig within 72 hours of paying for it. So many props to Matt Dowdy. Really nice guy. I had fun talking to him at New York Comic Con. So that's me rambling some Glios some more. Much to the chagrin of all those who are not into the stuff, but I like talking about it because it's fun. Anyway, that's all I got off topic, this week. So, I suppose that's, unless something came up on the front page, that's our 173. It's a shorter one, for sure, but not a lot really happened. So we'll see what happens next week. We'll see if we get any more updates on Prime Toys. Maybe the Voyagers will show up in Canada. I don't know. But thank you all for listening. Thank you, Gog and Seth, for joining me once again and putting up with my lengthy ramblings about independently made building toy robots and PVC things.
Aw.
I appreciate it. I like it when people let me talk to them. Usually they just hit me. But you guys let me keep talking. And then what I don't know is that they actually just kind of like get up and leave while I'm in the Glios, the vinyl big rig. It's like a transformer. Anyway, I'm also getting really delirious because now I've been awake for 21 hours. I gotta kick this in. Stay tuned for next week. This has been WTF at TFW. What's the hotline number?
It's your turn.
Oh, God damn it. All right. Hey, y'all, I bet you want to leave us a hotline voice message on our super special WTF TFW hotline inbox, voicemail inbox. So if you want to call us and have a listener question appear on there and then maybe even get featured in an episode of Sound Waves whenever the next one of those happens, you should call us at area code 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. Give us a call. Let's know what you think. I want to know what you think.
Yeah, and you know, hopefully one day I'll also remember to use some of them. We got plenty, trust me. Just the unlistened to, the unread, if you will, voicemails are approaching 40.
Oh dear.
And that's just the ones that I have never clicked on. So we have a nice backlog. I just remembered to have to start providing them for us for use. So hopefully that'll happen.
Also, thank goodness for sound waves.
Yeah. Well, if your question hasn't been done, don't worry. It will. We will get around to it. I keep forgetting to utilize it. They are there. They will be played.
And I'm operating on such a day by day basis right now. I do not remember to ask for them. So there's some of that on my shoulders as well. Anyway, thank you all for listening once again, and we're going to take off now. So have a good one. May you get your hands on Prime Toys without having to pay anything through your nose, because who wants to have money up their nostrils, you know? Good night, everyone, and I'll get a body pillow.
Body pillow.
Body pillow.
Body pillow.
Body pillow.
Add all that up, I know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.